today on The Happenings, we'll be talking about The Act. The Act is a seasonal anthology series that tells startling, stranger-than-fiction true crime stories. Season 1 follows Gypsy Blanchard, a girl trying to escape the toxic relationship she has with her overprotective mother, Dee Dee. Her quest for independence opens a Pandora's box of secrets, one that ultimately leads to murder.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Welcome back, Ashley.
It's nice to be back for a few days before I head back to Virginia Beach to get surgery. Fun fact, I originally thought that it was all going to be a really quick, like, oh, you're injured, now you get surgery, and now you're fixed. No, they have to wait 4 to 6 weeks post-injury for swelling and range of motion.
I mean, I think that's pretty, like, unique. That's to the ACL? I don't know. I would have assumed it was, yeah.
You mean you're not a doctor on the side?
Aside from my many talents, being a orthopedic surgeon is not one of them.
Surgery. Ugh. I was telling Caroline earlier, I've never had surgery before, and hopefully I don't have any, like, weird reactions from anesthesia. I don't think I will. I don't think it's common to have a weird reaction, but I've never even had my wisdom teeth taken out. I have micro wisdom teeth, apparently. Only two of them.
I only had two. Actually, they originally told me that I didn't have any wisdom teeth and I wouldn't need the surgery. Then I went back and they were like, oh, we see little buds, but only two. Let's take those out.
They did take them out?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But they were the top ones, which are not as bad because food doesn't get stuck in them.
Yeah, I only have the two top ones, but they're barely poking out.
They're poking out, though?
A little bit, but it doesn't affect my gorgeous smile.
Your jaw's not crowded?
Uh-uh.
Interesting.
Nope. Yeah, so this shall be interesting. Yeah, it was funny. I went to a conference last week while I was in Virginia Beach because the doctor cleared me to be mobile and walk around and do stuff. So I was at a conference all day. And as I was going, before I left, my dad goes, break a leg.
Oh, no.
And I was like, ah, this is hilarious.
I love that your dad dropped you off at a conference.
Oh, yeah, because I was home. I mean, I was supposed to be home anyway last week, but it's just all worked out where it's all at once. But, yeah, I will do the surgery, and then I'll be home for another 2 to 3 weeks with my parents. Which will be nice, but weird to have your parents do everything for you when you haven't had them do everything for you.
Oh, I think I would love it.
Oh my gosh, I don't,
like, in certain circumstances,
right? Like post-surgery, it'll be great.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, it's been a little weird because it's like I still can do everything, just slower.
Yep.
But. You know, it is what it is. I don't know if I'll ever ski again. I'm a little scared now.
I don't blame you. It freaks me out every time I go skiing.
It's like, who decided to strap your feet, legs to two popsicle sticks and go down ice?
I think the two makes more sense than the one, but yeah. The one is safer for your legs.
For your legs. Not your wrist, though.
No, not your head either.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I just learning to ski versus learning to snowboard, I hit my head a lot harder when I was.
That's true.
Because if you catch an edge on a snowboard, it's like a quick, like, you're whips so, you right yeah. down.
Yeah, I went snowboarding last season for the first time in Wintergreen, which is just brutal. Like, it was ice the whole way down. And my tailbone was definitely bruised for a good 3 weeks after. Yeah, it's so much harder than skiing.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Show.
I'm going to stick to snow tubing. How about that?
I like that. I'm going to snick. Snick?
Snick.
Snick. I'm going to stick to drinking hot cocoa in the lodge.
Spiked. Spiked yep. hot cocoa. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was annoying because we were supposed to go skiing one day and then go to Glenwood Springs. I was out in Breckenridge.
I don't know what Glenwood Springs is.
It's like an extra hour and a half from Breckenridge Vale-ish, further west. And they do like natural hot springs and things. Ooh. So we were going to do like a winter hike and then do the hot springs. But baby girl had to go home and be stationary because my knee had swollen up to the size of a cantaloupe.
Really?
It was really bad.
Do you have pictures?
I do.
Okay. We're going to have to look them. We can.
I wanted to do like a Instagram first reality story. Like a beautiful picture of the mountains.
Yep.
And then my knee.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a weird injury because it's like, it's so common that people just are kind of nonchalant about it. It's just like, oh yeah, your ACL. Oh, everyone knows someone that's hurt their ACL. Like it's that common. And like, it's so common that there's a backlog at my doctor's office. So like the earliest appointment that they were telling me for a long time was April 19th, which is 7 weeks after my accident. And then they called me the day before I came back up to DC thinking I was going to be here for 3 weeks. They were like, surprise, we have one next week. And I was like, I need to get it over with.
Yeah. I know. Do you want a, maybe I shouldn't ask you these questions, might freak you out. But I'm like thinking, do you want a surgeon who's like, does this surgery so often that it's like second nature to them? Or do you want a surgeon who's like, I do this every once in a while, but it still requires me to like think?
I think I would want the former, like someone who has so much experience, because like I think there's still individual elements to every case that makes them engaged. I would hopefully. Hope so. I mean, I trust this guy. He has been around the block when it comes to knees, and he's really – I like his rapport. He's really nice.
Bedside manner.
Yeah, is that – yeah, that's what it's called. Yep. But I think the thing that's so – I was telling you this earlier. I'm not good at slowing down. Like, I just want to do everything, and, like, I can do it all myself. And my mom is like, you're so independent, Ashley. It's annoying. That's what she says. Just take the help. But I don't know. I'm just, like, not good at slowing down. So it's, like, my fear with all of this and the rehab and everything is that I'm going to try to push it too quickly. And I just have to be mindful of not doing that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I can't run for 6 to 9 months, they said, which is sad. I was going to run the Cherry Blossom 10 miler. Breckenridge gave me all my money back, which to be fair, I'm going to be paying like 20 times as much as I did for that day.
I didn't think that they would even do that.
Mm-hmm. They gave me back my whole lift ticket, my ski rental.
Did you like reach out to them? Or?
Yeah, I called them. Okay. Yeah. Oh no, they... Yeah.
What did you say? Hey,
I was like, hey, you can check the, because I went to the ER at Breckenridge.
Yeah.
To get it checked out. Also, fun fact, there is a tiny fracture that happens when you tear your ACL that comes up in x-rays because, like, you can't see tendons in an x-ray, right? And so they told me in the ER, like, just off an x-ray that I had definitely torn my ACL. And then there's also, like, the little checks that they do with your knee and the catching it and stuff.
They did that when I ate shit in December and, like, my knee got all fucked up.
Oh,
and
I remember that.
They checked them all. They were like, well, your knee's still working. So I think you just messed it up and it'll swelling will go down and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Mine, they didn't. And they were like, the bruising's not there, but it's coming. And then I did the MRI and it's like whatever they were doing in there or not doing in there. The pictures that came out of the MRI, you can see bone bruising in there and it's just like all over the place. And like
that's pretty cool. You can see bone bruising.
Yeah. So they can show the bone bruising. Like for me, it's on my tibia and it's like the whole top of the bone is bruised right now. And it's been funny because in the last 2 days, With the brace I've been wearing, I can feel it. I can feel the bruising now, which I guess the swelling was so bad that everything was kind of held together in place with all the swelling.
Yeah.
But now that it's gone down a lot, I can. Anyway, we are talking a lot about my knee and it's.
Well, no, I think it's a nice, beautiful segue from surgery and hospitalization into the act.
The act. Oh my God. Okay.
We're going a little pop culture today. Yeah. But I'm okay with it.
Yeah. It's a fascinating story. It's a new show on Hulu. I'm really happy Hulu's getting on this true crime bandwagon because we could all use a little more true crime, right? They're just such interesting stories.
So it's funny because I listened to the podcast that actually made me think I wanted to do a podcast because I was like, oh, it doesn't require so much forethought, mm-hmm. right? It's not super structured. It's not perfectly cut. Mm-hmm. It could be more free flowing is my favorite murder.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
And they never actually covered, or I did not hear an episode where they actually covered this story. They must have at some point. I'm sure they did. They never don't. But they talked a lot about this documentary and I could not – I kept Googling it and I could not for the life of me find it. But I think that's because I kept Googling Mommy Dearest, which is that movie from the 80s, mm-hmm. 90s. I don't know when. That creepy movie. But they kept talking about the movie Mommy Dead and Dearest, which – I have never seen, but they talked about it all the time about how creepy it was and how messed up it was. And then when I was looking up this story, because you can't watch The Act and not try to dig deeper into what the story is, I realized that HBO documentary Mommy Dead and Dearest is about this movie, about this story.
Yeah, I think when I was trying to learn more about the show and what the story was, I read somewhere that was the original documentary and that they were doing a new series, obviously, on Hulu now.
So the story, do we want to talk a bit about the story?
Yeah. Take it away.
I mean, there aren't, I'm going to I told somebody about this yesterday and I started with the ending and somebody got really mad at me because they were like, oh my gosh, you just ruined it for me. And I was like, but I didn't because in the movie or the show,
yeah,
it starts with the murder.
Yeah.
But the story is, it's a story of Gypsy and Dee Dee Blanchard. I felt like in the movie, I'm going to keep calling it a movie. It's a TV show.
Oh, okay.
In the TV show, they kept saying Blanchard. I don't know. It was when they were calling her back, though, and in waiting rooms. I'm not making any sense. But when they're calling you back in waiting rooms, they'd be like, Gypsy Blanchard, you know?
Yeah.
So I had in my mind, I wasn't sure. So it's about Gypsy and Dee Dee Blanchard. Dee Dee's the mother, Claudine, with two D's. And Gypsy is the daughter. And Gypsy supposedly has everything. Yeah. I can't even remember. Is it MS? Is it cerebral? No, it's not cerebral palsy. It's a... cystic fibrosis.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, She's
allergic to sugar.
Allergic to sugar. Didn't she have leukemia at some point?
Had leukemia, had her salivary glands removed for some reason.
Yeah, she has a feeding tube.
Yeah. Never really clearly, she has ulcerative colitis, maybe. Mm-hmm. I might be just throwing random diseases at her at this point.
That was kind of what it was like. When they don't really sit down and explain all the different diseases. It's there's one tiny scene where she, the Dee Dee meets the neighbor.
Yeah.
And is like, oh yeah, she has this and she has this and this and this. And it's hard, but we're managing. And it's very strange. So I think that's the point. Or not the point, but you're right in that it's so many different things that
it doesn't make sense.
It's hard to keep up with. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so no one asks.
Yeah. They moved to a new town in Missouri because they had lived in Slidell in Louisiana and Katrina had just happened and they had lost everything in Katrina. And so Habitat for Humanity built this house for them.
Yeah.
And so they moved to Missouri and they're living their life. Ultimately, in the end, it shows at the beginning that Dee Dee has been murdered in the house. And that's kind of all we know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in real life, we know that
yeah,
Gypsy's boyfriend did it.
Oh, was it Gypsy's boyfriend?
Okay.
I was like, spoiler.
Whoops. If you read anything.
I thought she did it.
No. So she.
Or she conspired.
Maybe.
She's in jail. I know that.
She's in jail, but she's not in jail as long as her boyfriend.
Oh. Because
her boyfriend actually did the murdering.
Wow. I really want to watch. It's not the HBO documentary that you were referencing, but there's a 2020 episode that just came out early January where they interview her. And I was watching like small clips from it. And she's just so normal.
Is she?
Yeah. I mean,
can
she's
you be
a little,
normal?
She's weird. I mean, she's strange, right? Like, she's clearly a lot of trauma. And,
yeah.
But she made this one comment in the interview about how she feels like she's free. She has her freedom. And the whoever was interviewing her was like, that's so interesting that you say that because you're in jail and that's arguably one of the places where you don't have any freedoms. And she was like, yeah, but this is freedom compared to what my life was in that house.
It's a very interesting relationship to see because you see the struggles of like the good and the bad, right? Like you see moments where the mother is so overbearing and like you pick up on, and I'm sure Gypsy is picking up on like, inconsistencies or like the mother being overprotective, but really she's just trying to keep this secret.
Mm-hmm.
Like a moment where she starts to like realize, she asks her mom, like, I wonder what my hair would look like if we let it grow out.
Mm-hmm.
Because she sees that she has hair, but
I mean, they're shaving it off.
But yeah. Her mother is shaving it off on a regular basis. But then you also see moments where, like, Gypsy so respects her mother and, like, loves her mother. And they are each other's best friends. And they are super close. And you're like, this is just so fucked.
Yeah. Just utterly fucked. I was reading, I guess it was the Wikipedia. We go to Wikipedia for a lot of things. It's fine. I was reading, I think it was Wikipedia. But they were saying that whatever she, the mom, Dee Dee, was doing is actually some sort of illness. Like, it's a mental disorder.
Munchausen's.
What is it?
It's called Munchausen's
disease. Do tell.
Okay. Well, first off, I realized that I don't think we made it clear. I think we talked about how Gypsy has all these, supposedly has all these diseases.
Yes, sorry.
Turns out she, I don't actually know, she might have had some of them and not all of them, or like maybe didn't have any of them. I don't really know.
I think she might have had some of them because there's one, again, in the 2020 thing that I was briefly watching, they interviewed the dad because he left them when she was really young. But the dad made some comment about how the daughter had been ill and suffering and it was really hard on the family and that, like, Dee Dee is a good mother. Now, what I don't know is, was he there at the hospital when they were diagnosing her, or did her mom start making all this up on her own?
Yeah.
So I have no idea.
I don't know, and we may figure that out. We may not.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but there's obviously like a lot of, there are red flags along the way, but it turns out that she has been fabricating and falsifying some of these diseases, or at least like the severity or like longevity of these mm-hmm. ailments, and
exploiting the system and taking advantage of.
Yeah, they really over-index on the Hulu description of like, she was, or maybe it wasn't Hulu, somewhere I read, like, she was using it for the profit and gain of like charitable donations. Mm-hmm. But to me, I'm like, that doesn't even, yeah, that's like messed up. But I just think more of like what you're putting your daughter through when she doesn't need to be put through that. Like there are times where a doctor mentions you could have your G-tube removed and the mother's like, oh no, like she's not ready for that yet. Or like the hair, it's like she could grow out her hair. But yeah, yeah, like no, she.
Or like the scene where she has makeup on and she's like, take that stuff off your face. It's not good for you or something. It's, yeah.
And then I was about to talk about something and I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, Munchausen's.
Yes.
Yeah, so I just...
makes me want like Munchkin donuts. Okay, keep talking.
We can get some of those at some point. I just did a lot of Wikipedia-ing of this because wikiing, whatever you want to call it. I just finished Sharp Objects, shameless plug. Phenomenal.
I watched the first two episodes and never finished. I need to get back to it. I have my HBO subscription.
It's real dark. But it's basically a disease where you... Okay, now I'm going to get it confused because in this and in the act and in Sharp Objects, it's Munchausen's by proxy. Oh. Where like they are basically making or like creating an ailment for somebody else so that they're needed to help them.
I see.
So it's like this, like the mother so badly wants to be needed that she makes her daughter sick or like makes up that her daughter is sick.
Wow.
Regular Munchausen's, I'm trying to think. I think it might be that you are like making yourself sick.
So other people feel like they need to help you?
No, I'm going to...
check this
out. I'm going to Google it. It's a mental disorder in which a person repeatedly and deliberately acts as if he or she has a physical or mental illness when he or she is not really sick. And so then Munchausen by proxy is creating that for
attention
for somebody else. Usually. So it's like a mental illness of the person who is needed or wants to feel needed.
Oh my gosh.
A mental health problem in which a caregiver makes up or causes an illness or injury in a person under their care.
Hmm. So, oh, yeah.
Abbreviated MSBP.
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 Quite fascinating because the girl says, oh, I have all these things, or like, oh, I once tried sugar and like I got really sick, but I don't remember because I was so young. So she's just listening and believing to everything that her mother tells her, which to be fair would be like a logical thing to do.
I definitely sat there and I was like, wow, this really makes you realize how much of your beliefs and your understanding of the world are framed by your parents.
Yeah.
Right. That's the and like whatever nurture. They tell you, you, yeah. Yeah. But it's just like you're built and like you naturally trust, especially those people in your life.
Yeah. Well, how did you think they portrayed Dee Dee?
I mean, I really like Patricia Arquette.
Okay.
And I think she's doing a good job.
I just was so conflicted the whole time. Like,
of what do you mean?
Like, it, to be totally clear, I think she is an awful person for doing what she did. But I guess, like, if the situation hadn't been fabricated, if that girl was really that sick, like, being a mother and trying to accommodate that and help the child would be so hard.
Yeah.
So I think that, because like they kind of flashback. It's actually an interesting the way they did it, where they have the present day with the murder scene and then they flash back to 5 years before where they're kind of showing the daily ins and outs of their lives. And it's like, we know what happened, but if you didn't know, or if like, I just could imagine it being so hard.
I do think that, like, there are moments where you see her look in the medicine cabinet and, like, make, like, decisions of, like, decisions where it's, like, she knows that it's fake in her head. Like, it's, it'd be one thing if, like, she didn't, in her deepest, like, place, didn't believe that it was, she was making this up. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know,
like, she genuinely thought her daughter was that sick versus, like, oh no, she, like, knows that she's, like, fabricating this.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, we are not commenting on the real story because, like, we don't know. And even in the TV show, they, like, put a disclaimer at the end that's, like, even though this is based on real events, like, certain scenes are dramatized for television. Yeah. But, like, there are scenes in the show where she, like, goes and, like, opens the medicine cabinet and, like, clearly makes decisions or, like,
it's not a cabinet, it's a closet. The medicine closet. That's a good point. I, like, totally forgot about those scenes because they're kind of quick and, like, they're definitely deliberate. Also, I think
in the first episode, she might actually be going into the cabinet and, like, getting her own medicine, where in the second episode, there's, like, a moment where she's, like, getting stuck. Like, I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't seen the second episode yet. So in the first one, I think she's only going in to get her own, like, Xanax or...
Yeah.
And then I think there are the moments where they're just in the scenes, regular life events where it just looks like it sucks, even though it's false. It just seems really hard.
She, like, still builds up Gypsy, like, telling her she's, like, a wonderful daughter. Like, she's a good mother for the most part, aside from
I know what you're saying.
But, like, cares.
Yeah, and that's why I felt so conflicted in that sense, where I was just like, she's theoretically doing all the right things, but, like, not.
And that's what I can't wait to see, as I'm sure we will, what makes Gypsy snap and, like, turn on her mother, because she knows that even, like, through the moments where she's irritated with her mom for, like, making certain decisions or, like, withholding certain things, like, she knows that her mom loves her and, like, cares.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so twisted.
It makes great television. Because
it's, like, it's very sad. Like, you feel really bad for Dee Dee because you're, like, what is so wrong with your life or, like, so missing in your life that you need this thing to feel, like, purposeful or, like...
And her own daughter. Yeah. That's the... I mean, it shouldn't be to anyone, but, like, it's, like, an extra... take the sword and, you know, or the knife and... That's punny. And twist it deeper, but then she... sorry, this might be a spoiler, but she gets stabbed to death.
I don't think it's a spoiler. You see it in the first epi.
Oh, true. You do. What did you think of the neighbor, the mom?
What
was her name?
Oh, I don't remember the mom's name. The girl's name is Lacey.
Lacey.
The mom, I should know the mom's name.
I want to say the cat, but that's wrong.
It's something brief. Regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's like a... depiction of, I don't know, a low-income community in Missouri.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like her life seems hard too because she's a single mother and raising a bunch of kids. And she's definitely got, like, her defense armor on and, like, super protective. Not protective. That's not the right word. She's just, like, got her guard up.
Skeptical.
Yeah, skeptical. There we go. With every reason to. And I think it's, like, such an interesting juxtaposition of two hardworking mothers, one in a fabricated world and one, like, in the real world. And the one in the real world is keeping it together more than the fabricated one.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have to say about that.
But I think she's also, like, their circumstances are entirely different in the sense that the neighbor, like, her kids, she's just, like, it shows the two extremes, like one who's super overprotective mm-hmm. and like one who's kind of let her kids
chart their own paths,
like raise themselves. Like she's very like sits on the couch and they like do the things around her. Hands she's off. Like, not, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more perplexed by the neighbor girl, Lacey. Not perplexed. I'm just like, is that a realistic character? I can't think of any high school girl who would like be like, let me be friends.
Yeah. I mean, well, the people in the community, including the neighbor's family, built the house. Yeah. And I wonder if she's just like, oh, I know this is a tough situation for her. I want to be nice to her. And I'm sure she's trying to understand the friendship boundaries too.
It's very good of her. Yeah. I just am like, I can't imagine. I don't know. It's very nice of her to want to be friends.
Yeah, with Gypsy. I think it seems like, I mean, the vibe I got was that she wants to be friends, but like within certain boundaries. Like they were all going to a movie and she was like, I don't know if you should come. Cause like, and I don't know if that was really because like her mom would say, which her mom would say no, Dee Dee.
Yeah.
Or if it was just like, oh, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite read that, but I think.
She's definitely setting herself up to become a villain at some point, right? In a way of like, she's only going to let Gypsy in so much.
Exactly.
Like, it's almost like she's her little pet project that's like something she wants to do to feel good about herself and like maybe get her some like publicity because she knows Gypsy comes with.
Yeah, because that was the first thing she said, right? Oh, Habitat for Humanity and, like, Disneyland. And
saw them on TV.
Yeah. So I don't think it's, like, a pure friendship motivator there.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot more sense.
Which is why I'm like, that's, I don't know. There's some, like.
That's effed up. There's so much.
But it also, I think maybe they're playing her character to be, like, your motivations in life are not always as innocent, which is like kind of this mother, like her motivations are horrible, but also like there are varying degrees of bad motivations behind your actions, right? Like something as bad as making your daughter believe she is insanely sick and like incapable of living a normal life to like making a fellow person, like another peer, think that you want to be friends with them when you're like, no, I don't actually know if I do. Like both
I get
are,
what you're saying, yeah.
Like not everybody around them, not everybody is perfect. Everybody has a flaw.
No, and yeah.
So like I could be over philosophizing. Is that a word?
You have over philosophizing? I think that's a word. There was something else about, oh, this just popped into my head. I wonder what her first lie was. Like, this kind of seems like, I mean, it is a mental disorder, illness, right?
Syndrome. Yeah, I don't know. Mental, yeah.
Anyway, because sometimes I'm just like, you know, that you hear those stories where you're like, oh, you got caught in the middle of a big lie, or it started as a white lie or a little lie, and then it just spiraled. And this kind of seems like that, but I guess the mental illness part comes in when she does it knowingly and continues rather than just fessing up. But I just wonder what the first lie was. So one other thing about this, and you would learn all this if you research or read about the story, but basically one of the big, I don't know if propellers is the right word, but one way that this continued to keep happening is that none of the doctors really cross-checked and checked for the illnesses or the symptoms. They just believed the mom when she said, oh yeah, my daughter suffers from XYZ or has had this and like we're worried she might get it back or whatever she did. And so the doctors would just continue prescribing medication to help treat these quote symptoms or quote illnesses. And I just wonder what the first one was, like the first lie.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if we'll ever find that out, but yeah.
I think that maybe we should do, well, no, I'm trying to like say things without moving into the second episode, but they start to like unravel some of this stuff
in
the second episode. Okay. Not necessarily like what her first lie is, but like doctors start to poke.
Ooh.
And you start to see like a little bit of that, like how doctors never ask for records or like never.
It's all verbal. I mean, you just go in and you're like, yeah, well, this is how I feel. And this is what some doctors said to me. And did I ever tell you about the time in San Francisco where the doctor, I don't remember. I thought it was hilarious. She goes, don't take this the wrong way, but your eyes are like really big and maybe a little bulgy. And she thought I had a thyroid problem.
I remember this.
And I was like, I've never heard, I think my eyes are just big. So anyway, I came back to the East Coast and I told my doctor as a joke, I was trying to build rapport, you know, do the bedside manner back. Not my job.
But not anyway. Your job.
So I was talking, I was like, haha, like this one doctor said, and she was like, oh, well, like, you might want to get that checked out. I don't think you have it, but you might. So I had to get an MRI, or not an MRI, an ultrasound on my thyroid. It was fine. It was totally fine. I just have big eyes.
That's really funny.
I know. I was so pissed. It was $200.
Oh my God.
And the girl that was doing the ultrasound just immediately was like, yeah, you're fine. She was like, you're also kind of young for a thyroid problem, but I know people
I'm like, my hands and my feet are always cold. And so people are always like, do you have a thyroid problem? And I'm like, nope,
I'm just cold.
My blood work usually comes back fine.
Yeah. And mine is always fine too. So anyway, I was happy that this doctor did cross check and have me go in. But you're right in that like most doctors just kind of ask and you fill out like the form and they scan it.
Well, that is the, like, normally I'm not super, I work in tech. I should be into like technologizing. Yep, that's the word. Technifying, updating systems into. I'm like a little wary of like how much we rely on tech in our lives at this point. And like, to me, I don't know. I don't want to move away from face-to-face contact to like do everything by email. Like certain things, like I'm hesitant, certain industries, I'm hesitant of moving into like the tech space, but medical documents. Yeah. It's such a pain to try. And especially like people move around more these days. Like, I'm constantly having to try to track things down. I have no idea when my last immunizations were for certain things. Like, why do we not have a better system in place so that doctors can share?
There probably is an answer to this.
Well, a lot of states are working on it, and, like, there are things happening at state levels.
But what if you move across the country?
Like, seriously, Like, the systems aren't necessarily the same.
Does it have to do with HIPAA?
Probably.
Yeah. I feel like HIPAA's always the
answer. But I also think it has to do with the fact that you've had paper charts for most of your life.
Yeah.
Right? And one of my best friends did it for her dad. Her dad had a practice, and she was like one summer spent every single day moving like the information in paper charts onto like a computerized system.
That probably has saved them a ton of time now.
Yes, yeah. But like,
it's painstakingly. Wolf. Yeah. That is a woof moment.
Yeah.
That's a big woof.
Yeah.
Dang. I feel like that's something that I don't really think about until I absolutely need it for like a trip or
school,
you know, or anything, volunteering, whatever.
Makes me sad, but I just realized it's probably going to take us dying off for everyone to have digitized. That is the word I was looking for.
There we go.
Digitized records. I took a Sudafed today, like I'm feeling a little loopy.
Loopy.
Oh my God, are the feds going to come after me thinking I'm making meth out of my Sudafed?
Oh no, what?
That's why you now have to go to the pharmacy counter and like show your ID to get anything with actual Sudafedrin in it.
Oh, it's a meth thing?
That's what they make meth out of.
I'm not a threat to anyone. I like clearly don't know anything.
That's why you like have to show your ID so that they can like track how much you're buying.
Oh, sneaky. Smart. Okay, let's get back to the act.
Yeah.
the scene in the first episode where they puree the pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
The whole thing. I was thinking, like, is that actually, do you want to put pizza in your feeding tube? What are the perks of it being pizza versus just, like, whatever formula it is?
Like, well, it's, like, not only pizza, but she mixes in Pedialyte or something.
Yeah. Which is really funny because at one point the doctor, I'm ruining part of episode two for you, but at one point the doctor is like, your daughter is not, like, she is not allergic to
sugar. Episode one.
Oh, it is? Yeah. She's not allergic to sugar. There's so much sugar in the Pedialyte.
Isn't that nuts? Oh, jeez.
But I don't understand why you would puree the pizza and put it in there because, like, literally, what, like, she's not going to enjoy the pizza, so why not just put Pedialyte in there?
I also, I mean, like, there's so, I have so many questions. Like, if she can't eat it, like, does she have mouth sores? Like, if she can't, does her throat just have liquid?
Remember,
like,
she doesn't have salivary glands.
Oh, you said that. Duh. Okay. But that just means spit, salivary spit.
So I think she, like, the whole thing is, like, she has trouble swallowing because she doesn't have salivary glands.
Oh, is that what salivary glands do?
I mean, they produce saliva so that you can swallow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fun fact, I've had a salivary gland removed.
Really?
But only one.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Is it hard for you to eat?
No. But I have scar tissue on my tongue that drives me bananas.
Where? Sometimes. Oh, it's under your tongue. Uh-huh. Try to talk like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? Oh, I see it. Uh-huh. Is it painful or is it just like...
Sometimes this... I don't understand scar tissue, but like sometimes the scar, it like... I feel it. And then other times I have no... And then when I start to feel it, like right now, now I'm feeling it because I'm thinking of it. And then I feel like I start to develop a lisp.
Oh, don't think about it. Don't do that. Wow, I didn't know that. So why did you get rid of your salivary gland?
It's kind of gross. It's not that gross. I mean, it just like apparently got blocked.
Ooh.
Inside a blockage. So like the saliva would build up in the gland, but then it would burst.
So it's like a spitball in your mouth that's your own.
The bursting, honestly, was, like, good.
Because it's a relief.
Yeah, but when it was full, oh, God, I actually had a lisp. Like,
oh, really?
It just, like, hurt. There was so much pressure.
Oh, wow. And you can't just, like, pop that.
No.
No, because that's probably blood.
No. And they're like, it's not doing any harm. It's just a saliva gland that's blocked, but there's no way to fix it other than to just remove it.
Wow. How old were you?
I was fourth year of college.
That was fourth year of college? No. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was 20, 21.
Wow. I had no idea. That should be your fun fact.
It was weird too. Because, well, I think like normally if you remove salivary glands, it's on the base of your mouth, like under, that's where your biggest glands are, like under your tongue, right? Okay. But like on the jaw, not like on your tongue. So it was like a smaller salivary gland. But the oral surgeon I went to is like, yeah, like it's super easy procedure, like not painful at all, like in and out, like you won't notice much. But I guess he had never done one on a tongue. Like you don't think about how much you use your tongue.
Yeah.
And for then my tongue turned purple because it was bruised, looked awesome. It was kind of crazy.
You had a purple tongue?
My whole tongue was purple.
That must have been painful.
And then I had like stitches, and the stitches, he snipped them at the front of my tongue. And so
I would just play with these.
But they started to get stuck in between my teeth.
That's funny. Sorry, I didn't mean to cackle.
This is actually like, I don't know why I'm telling these stories.
No, it's okay. It's hilarious. Well, I mean, we're dealing with a show that has a lot of medical things in it.
They're pretty gross.
They're pretty gross.
But I also like don't want to diminish for anybody that's like actually experiencing these diseases. Right. Like, I am curious though, like when you have a G-tube, what do you put in the G-tube? So I have a friend who, shout out to Ability Adaptive Wear, she like creates clothes for people with certain like medical needs. And so like one of them is like the G-tube can be really irritating on the skin.
Uh-huh.
And so she has like little pads that you like slip between your skin and your G-tube so that it's absorbent for like if any of the liquid gets out, but also like the fabric they use is supposed to be like be better for your skin.
Less irritating.
Irritating, yeah. But I don't even know like what formula they put in, like what do doctors prescribe or like tell you to put in the G-tube? I don't know.
I don't either. It's not Pedialyte probably. Or maybe it is.
Maybe it is. But like but do you blend it allergy. With but do you blend it with pizza? Is that like what you do? To me, I just like if I weren't going to taste my food, all I would put in would be like Brussels sprouts and
just organic everything.
Yeah.
Just kale. Only kale.
But like well, why not fuel on just good things?
I think part of the reason I think I found it so gross was less about the tube and more about just the blending of the pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Because they really focused in on it, and then it was kind of, like, bubble. You know when you blend things and it, like, pops a bubble?
Oh, they definitely, like, tried.
To make it look gross.
To make the whole thing, yeah, nauseating.
Yeah.
So, like, overall, it's an interesting story, and I'll probably keep watching it just because I want to, like, see how it plays out. But I don't love it. Yeah. And I kind of find it to be a bit like a Hallmark TV show or a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like a little too, I don't know, like a little too Hollywood.
Mm. Interesting. I was thinking about, I like it. I wish it was a movie.
Yeah.
I wish they had just done a movie and not like a longer series. I don't even know how many episodes there are. I would almost rather watch the 2020 hour and a half or the HBO documentary.
I think that is the thing, is they're trying to like dramatize it to make it a TV show, and it felt a little like
too dramatized.
Yeah, a little fake and hokey. Like I just watched Sharp Objects and I keep going like comparing them, but like Sharp Objects cinematographically, is that a word? Struggling with words today.
It's okay.
The cinematography is amazing. The like plot line is a little more like it builds up. You like don't really know fully what's going on. Like there's more character development. There's more character development from the sense that like you don't get who the characters are from the beginning. Whereas in this show, I kind of feel like they present all their cards fairly early on. I could be wrong about Dee Dee, but like,
do you think it's because it's based on a true story and you know the true story?
But I don't know the true story that well. Like, that's I've true. Only read about it.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched that documentary.
Yeah. I think there also is just, it's not as visually, like, action. I'm comparing it to, like, the Versace true crime.
Yeah.
Story. Like, there's
the colors are really similar, though.
I liked the Versace one. It was a little too gory for me.
The Versace one?
Yeah.
I didn't actually see that one.
You didn't see
it? I just saw the OJ.
The OJ one was really good.
But even that one, I felt like it dragged on a little too long.
And that's why I think it's when there's less, there's like one act and like the whole twistedness of the whole thing is like the scenarios leading up to it. But usually that, I mean, I'm not making any sense. I guess what I'm trying to say is like, there's not like a bunch of things happening. You're kind of like unfolding a story that has already happened. I don't know. It's like more emotional and psychological. It's a psychological thriller. So it's not like, like bang, bang, like, you know, like a war scene or, you know, where like Versace, he murdered a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
So it was like every episode there was like another person, another, you know, so it moved along a lot faster and there were multiple stories within this broad story.
Gotcha.
Whereas like, I loved People vs. OJ, but that was because I thought the trial was so fascinating. Yeah, I like the document. Like, have you seen, this is funny, this I actually watched in San Francisco. I came home from a run, turned the TV on. I was like, okay, I'm going to watch TV for a bit and then shower and then go meet up with friends or whatever. I started watching the Amanda Knox documentary.
The one on Netflix?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. And I watched it, actually.
Yeah, and I loved it. I thought it was so fascinating. Who, by the way, she's engaged right now. She just got engaged recently.
Interesting.
That one, I started watching that documentary and I did not leave the couch. And then I stayed in and then I was just like wide awake for a while because I was like, oh, I just watched this really horrific murder documentary.
Oh, yeah. I had to stop listening to My Favorite Murder because I started to have really bad nightmares.
Did you?
Yeah.
But it's such a funny podcast. I actually don't always pay 100% attention through it. So that's,
yeah. I would always listen on my runs.
Oh my God, that's terrifying. What?
Felt like it kept me alert. I was like, is this man who's running towards me going to kidnap me?
Oh my God.
And kill me? Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not.
I feel like there's, oh, I'm now listening to a really good podcast about Jacob Wetterling, who is like, he's the reason we have some law that's like, okay, I'm going to sound like an idiot. Whatever I say, I don't remember what it is, but it was like a very pivotal case in Minnesota where he was kidnapped and then murdered.
Oh.
And for like years, they hadn't found his murderer. And then recently the guy confessed to it. And like the whole podcast is about how like they had all of the clues and they actually like had him as a suspect. But like, why were they not able to prosecute? Put it together?
Oh, put it together.
Earlier.
Anyways. I finally listened to Serial.
Season one?
Mm-hmm.
You hadn't?
I hadn't listened to it. I just did not get on the train when it happened, and I finally listened to it. I was hooked.
So good.
It was so good. It was really good.
I think we've had this conversation on the podcast, and so I really apologize to all the listeners.
We have?
I think you said this, and I was like, you have to go listen to season one of Serial.
Well, now I have. Yeah. So, yay. No, I would have liked this to be more documentary style.
The act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The act. Or just a movie, I think.
I think a movie would have been a good way to go.
Yeah. Even if it was fictionalized, I think it would have been an interesting movie. Like a Netflix movie. Or yeah. Hulu movie. Hulu original.
Yeah. I agree.
But I still think it's a fascinating story. It's fucked up. It's so twisted.
It is.
I'm laughing because I just feel so uncomfortable about it.
But I also can, like, totally see it, right? Like, I can
see
it happening with so many more mothers than fathers, but, like, feeling the need to be needed.
Yeah. I wonder if it also had something to do with, like, maybe she truly was sick as a kid, and she was, the Dee Dee wasn't really needed in that scenario, and she got so hooked on, like, the, I guess, dopamine of that emotion.
That relationship.
That relationship that she now requires it.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what happened. I don't know. I have a lot of questions, clearly.
I know. Maybe we should do a follow-up once we finish it.
A follow-up. Yeah, we can do that.
Talk it through. Interesting.
Yes. Well,
I think that was, like, the most tangents we've gone on ever.
I kind of liked it. I haven't seen you in a while, so it's, I feel like the frequency of this allows us to kind of keep up with each other's lives.
And good luck on your surgery. Not
Thanks.
That you need luck, because I don't think you need luck, but,
yeah,
like,
yeah, it hasn't really hit me that I'm getting surgery. Like, it just is kind of like, oh, yeah, like, I'm getting surgery. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting a haircut. Like, different, but it's kind of just like, oh, yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I feel kind of like nonchalant. I think it's going to hit me the night before or like as I'm driving to the,
yeah,
to the hospital. But I'm happy I'll be at home. It's like one less thing to worry about.
Definitely. All right, well, go check out the act so that you can correct us on our mistakes or agree, disagree with us. I would love to hear people's thoughts on it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone.
Have a good day. Whatever day it is you're listening to this.
Okay, bye.